All right. So, Bible study. Is Carol okay? She what? Oh, okay. Okay. So, let's carry on with our Bible study on the three parts of a man. You know, and where we ended was when we get born again, the Zoe life of God moves inside of you. And now our spirit is responsible to take authority over our souls and our bodies, bringing them into line with God's Word. See, sometimes there's people with a lot of intellect. They've prospered their soul, but they just kind of let their spirit slide, their body slide. And they have PhDs hanging on their wall. And they're really smart, according to the world, but they lack wisdom that comes from God. And then we have some people whose spirits really prosper, and maybe their souls do, but they let their bodies go. See, we have a three-part being. We have to take care of all three parts of our being, you know. And then we have these guys. You run into them every once in a while that they've focused on their body. And they have arms as big as my legs. And, you know, they have no neck. They have muscles in their earlobes. And they're just crazier than a peccoon upstairs. And they're lost spiritually. But there's some people that do take care of all three. You know, but what we need to understand is for our bodies and our souls to really flourish, our spirit man has to be strong so we can take control over our body and over our souls. Look over to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And this is Jesus talking here. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So right there, Jesus told us about these different parts of us. Now that's in the law. Jesus, when he was talking to scribes and Pharisees and people that were living according to the law, he had to talk to them according to the law. Always remember the cross made all the difference. And this was said before the cross. That doesn't mean we stop loving God with everything we got, but we love him because he loves us. We focus on the love that he has for us. That causes us to love him. Amen. Focus more on the love that he has for us. Now, you don't have to turn here, but in Psalms, it tells us that the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 27, or verse 7, it tells us that because Adam was created a living soul. See, he created him out of the dirt of the earth, and then he breathed into him. Can you imagine all of a sudden waking up and you're looking God straight in the eyes? That's what happened to Adam. And actually, if you break that word Adam down, it's Adam. Literally means the blood of God. Adam had God's blood in him. He created him. But then Adam's blood got contaminated when he sinned. Jesus never had sin-contaminated blood in him like us because he had the blood of God in him. But see, all of us just for the very simple reason that we have Adam's blood coursing through our veins, and we all do. If you're a people on this earth, guess what? We all go back to the same guy, Adam. If just because of that, we have his blood coursing through our veins, that means our blood is contaminated. That means we have a need for a Savior. I don't care how well you may keep the law and observe any of the festivities, any of the feasts, you still need Jesus. And that's the only thing that will get you to heaven. Now, when Adam fell, the fall of the soul was great. Its awesome power given by God was perverted in the Garden of Eden. You need to understand just what kind of intellect, what kind of soul Adam had there. See, God told Adam to name all the animals. And you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God changed the name of one of those animals. He named them. And he gave him dominion over those. Now, Adam got kicked out of the garden. It wasn't because God didn't love him. God had to kick him out of that garden to keep him from living forever. If he would have ate of the tree of life, he would have lived forever in a degenerate state. And God couldn't have that. Now, from the soul of man, they came up with all these occult religions, these Eastern religions, all these different religions. And here's the thing about all these different religions. All these different things are man's attempt at getting in contact with God. You know, at some point in time, every single spirit has had direct contact with God. We were in His presence. That's why people have such a craving for the supernatural. They want to see something happen. And this is the challenge now. They want to see something happen, so they go to church and they don't see something happen. Because the church isn't out there in the community making things happen. One of the challenges I ran into, and I've had people, they say, well, we're a real charismatic church and we want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the church. What they are really saying is they want to see something happening in this room. What they don't understand is the gifts of the Spirit are for out in the mission field. See, God wants to deal with you one-on-one. He wants to have that personal one-on-one fellowship with you. And if He wants you to have a word of wisdom, He wants to give it to you Himself. But sometimes people get kind of clogged up, and God has to send somebody in there and as an intermediary and give them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Did you know it's not God's best for me to come give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? He will do it if it's necessary, but He would rather talk to you personally. But some people are kind of hiding out or running from Him or avoiding Him or doing whatever they can to not hear Him. And He wants them to know that they're heading for trouble. So He'll give them a word of wisdom through somebody else. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's out in the mission field. That's where the church is supposed to be in full operation. This is the training ground. This is the feeding ground. Out there. You know what happens when people see God do something? It catches their attention. And then they start asking questions. Because they have questions. I'm going to use you as an example because this is so cool. First time I met Pete, he told me he was an atheist. Full-blown atheist. I said, okay. Can you fix my computer? Yeah. So he did. And so I went there and I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, nothing. Okay. What's the gig? He told me, he said, come talk to my friend. So I went and talked to his friend and I prayed for her. And she started getting better. By the glory of God, she started getting better. Well, he's seen that. And he told me, he said, I've never seen God do anything, but I seen that. And then he asked me if he'd go to church. I said, well, yeah. After a while, he kind of watched me for a while. Watched her for a while. But God had his attention. And he had questions. So then he came here, and he got born again. That's what we're talking about. He had a craving for the supernatural, and he's seen God do something. Here's the dangerous thing. People are led by their five natural senses, and they want to see something. Well, the devil can do signs and wonders too. Did you know that? He can do signs and wonders and tricks and all kinds of stuff. And in fact, the Bible tells us to not be deceived by lying signs and wonders. But what happens is when somebody's not born again, they don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit in them, and they're wandering around looking for something to happen, and they show up somewhere where the occult's being practiced, and they see something happen. And they're drawn into that. And then they're in trouble. They can get out of it. They can still get born again. They can get saved. But that's the danger. We need to be led by the Spirit, not by our five natural senses. You know, one time I went to a meeting. There was going to be a prophet coming to this place. And everybody was just excited about this guy. And said, we got to load up, go all the way to Brownfield to go see this guy. So we all loaded up. We went to Brownfield, got up there. This guy screamed and hollered for 30 minutes talking about his website and doing some signs and wonders. And he didn't mention the gospel. He didn't really preach anything out of the word. He talked about his $30,000 website. And then he said, anybody want to get born again, get down here. And he went out the back door. And I thought, wow, that was crazy. I didn't ever go back. I stayed away from that guy. Now, the thing about our soul is it can be manipulated. And right now, we're on the very edge of witnessing a whole bunch of mind control. There's, in fact, you've seen it. You may not have known about it. You know, I always find it curious. They'll have somebody go in there and they'll just start shooting up a Walmart or they'll shoot up a school or something. And they'll say that they kept hearing these voices in their head. There's some very, very evil people in this world that have been working on people for a long time. And they have ways of controlling people's minds. And they get them to do some horrible stuff. Mind control is a very real thing, and it's out there. And that's why it's so very important to pay attention to what you're doing. It irritates me to no end when I run into Christians that dabble in occult activities. You know, they say, well, you know, they'll call psychics. They talk to psychics. They don't understand just how dangerous that really is. They'll talk to mediums. They'll talk to whatever. Instead of God, they'll talk to these other creatures, and it's not good. And they can get themselves into a spot where they're manipulated and get in big trouble. Now, located in the soul are the mind, will, and emotions. That's why when we talked about Lazarus and the rich man, see, the rich man was still alive. And he was tormented. He still had feelings. And he was worried about his family. He didn't want them to end up where he was. But it was too late. He had no more options for requests. Don't worry about dying. You're going to live forever. The thing you need to focus on is location, location, location. You want to end up in hell or in heaven? You're going to be alive either way. One won't be so comfortable. But since we have this mind, will, and emotions, we have this battleground. And our mind is truly a battleground. The devil and his host of evil spirits try to influence our minds, our thoughts, our wills, and our emotions. In fact, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It talks about the prince of the power of the air. If you get a chance to buy this book by Joyce Myers called The Battlefield of the Mind, that would be a good buy. It gives you some understanding what's going on up here. Also help you sort out this deal where when you get born again, your spirit is 100% owned by God. And the devil has absolutely no access to your spirit whatsoever. He does, however, have access to your soul. That's where these bad ideas come from. The Bible calls them high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And this is why it's so important for you to feed your spirit, man, so that you can take control of this and take those thoughts captive, casting them down in the name of Jesus. You really do have a battlefield in your mind. And the devil is not going to give up on trying to infiltrate your soul. He's not going to give up on trying to wreck your life. Did you know that? He's not going to give up. But see, you've already been given the victory. You just have to get it in here so that you can take control of this and enforce that victory. Our souls have this crazy way of just running wild. Have you ever noticed that? How many of you ever found yourself just daydreaming? Sometimes you're daydreaming about good things, and sometimes you get busy, and you know, maybe there's something wrong, something bugging you, and you're busy trying to work, and all of a sudden you catch yourself thinking about how horrible this situation is, when it's really not that big of a deal. But the devil's trying to convince you how impossible it is. Now, The prince of the power of the air attempts to force his thoughts into your mind. But James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us to resist the devil. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. So, you know, there's a lot of demon chasers in this world. There's a lot of people that maybe they get a curiosity about deliverance and they decide they're going to start chasing demons around and charging the gates of hell and doing all this and whatever it is they want to do. But that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. So how do we resist the devil? Don't do what he tells you to do. See, he's one of those influencers of our thoughts. You know, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you get bombarded with choices every day. Every time you turn around, you have a choice to make. And if he can wiggle his way in there and get you to make a bad choice, then he got a hit in on you. That's where our spirit man comes in. That's where we need to have the witness of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why it's important to read the Bible for yourself at some point. Read it. Read it like a novel at least once and then go back and study it. But at least he got it in there. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can bring all things to remembrance. But we got to have something in there for him to bring it to a remembrance. So when the devil comes at you with these thoughts, he can check it with the Holy Spirit. And if it's not something you're supposed to be thinking about, he can cast it down. Now, sometimes people let their thoughts go crazy and run wild and do whatever they want. And then you can actually open up a portal and let that spirit of fear come into your life, and then you're just a wreck. But fear is a spirit. Did you know that? Fear is a spirit, and it's not from God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So if fear is a spirit and it's not from God, guess what our job is to do? Cast it away. Tell it to get in the name of Jesus. The devil will try to remind you of all kinds of things to try to make you afraid. And here's the thing is fear, doubt, and unbelief, they always run together. The devil will try to get you to thinking about something. Get a little bit of fear going in there. Maybe he can get you to meditate on that fear. Say, well, what if the doctor's right? And what if you said that prayer wrong? And then if he can get you afraid, then maybe he can get you to doubt. And then you'll sit there and you'll start thinking, well, maybe I didn't pray that prayer right. And if he can get you afraid enough and get you to doubting God's word enough, he can get you into unbelief. And then he's got you. But what we need to do is keep him in the arena of faith. And the only way that we can do that is with the Word of God. So when these thoughts come, and they will, when these bad thoughts come, don't start playing mental basketball with yourself. You're not going to beat a thought with a thought. You have to take captive of those thoughts. You got to beat those thoughts with God's word. This is something that's going to take practice. Now these thoughts, they're going to come, and they may insist on staying. But you can force those thoughts out of your life with the Word of God. It'll take a little bit of practice and a little bit of meditation, but with time and practice and patience, you'll get there. This patience thing is something that a lot of people really lack. You have to understand that a lot of these ideas that we've got, a lot of these thoughts that we've got, some people have really meditated on those for 30, 40 years, 20 years. And then they all of a sudden they got born again and they're mad because they can't get rid of those thoughts. I heard somebody, a champion one time, say that it takes 30 days to break a bad habit. And it's not positive thinking. It takes 30 days of doing something right to replace the wrong. So sometimes, you know, if we think we're going to just snap and we got it all of a sudden, that's not the way it usually works. Usually we're going to have a fight. But we can be of good cheer because Jesus has already overcome this world. Our victory is wrapped up in Him. When we look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, He'll help us. But we do have a part to do in this. We do have to resist the devil. He will flee from us. Now, if we do not choose to have a thought, it is not ours and not to be accepted. If we do not choose to have a thought, it's not ours. Those thoughts are going to come, but you don't have to choose to accept that thought. You don't have to choose to accept it. You know, the devil will come up and say, you're not going to have enough money to pay the bills. That's a thought. It's not from God, but it is a thought. Now you have a choice. You can accept that thought, meditate on it, and worry about it. And then guess what? You're not going to have enough money to pay the bill. Or you can choose not to accept that thought. And then what are you going to do? You got to say something. You got to replace that thought with the Word of God. He said, no, my God said He would supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, we really do have a battlefield up here. And we have to be focused on winning that battle. Now, the only way we're going to win that battle is from our inner man being strong in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it tells us, we cast down these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we refuse every thought contrary to the Word of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. See? That's our part. Those thoughts come, those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, we cast those down, bring them into obedience in the name of Jesus. Every one of us, every single one of us has the same battle going on between our ears. We may be thinking about different challenges, but we're still in that same battlefield. And the devil, that he's going to be sending those fiery darts our way. But we need to be diligent and we need to cast those things down. You know, there'll be, I can't remember the number of choices somebody said we had to make every day, but it was hundreds and hundreds of choices. And I don't know how many thoughts we have, but it's thousands. It's crazy. this thing up here is hyperactive. No wonder some people, they get so frustrated and they have to just turn to alcohol or drugs or sex or food, or they go to the doctor and get different kinds of medicines to try to shut this thing up. Because the devil is driving them crazy. You know, and if they're not born again, they're really in trouble. Because they'll go get to drugs or alcohol, whatever it is they turn to, and then they'll push it to a whole new level. But when we get born again, we have all these weapons and all these different things that we can use to take control of our mind. Jesus sets us free. His word sets us free. But he did say, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. So we have to know the truth. And the only way we can know the truth is to read the Bible. Once we know the truth and act on that truth, the devil can't stand up to us. See, this is why he sends so many distractions your way. You hear something really neat out of the Word of God, somebody says something really cool in the Bible, and you kind of think, man, I need to go look at that at home. And the minute you walk out that door, you're bombarded with choices. You're bombarded with distractions. By the time you get home and get done eating lunch or supper or whatever it is, it's time to go to work the next day, and then you're busy making choices. You're busy looking at distractions. Sometimes it's hard to get back to that word. Well, one thing about the sower sows the word. And these birds have a habit of coming and trying to steal that seed. When you find something really good and you underline it and try to go back every once in a while to read the underlined stuff in your Bible. The Holy Spirit impressed it upon you enough to highlight it because he wants you to know it. You know, one thing about faith is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not just having heard, but hearing and hearing and hearing. And especially in the Word of Faith circles, there's a habit of getting a teaching and listening to it, and then somebody tells you about another cool teaching, so you go get that one, and you listen to that one, and then somebody tells you about something cool over here, so you go running over there, you get that one, and pretty soon you got a whole stack of CDs in your closet, and you don't have any revelation of any of it. Did you know you can sit there and listen to the same thing over and over and over and over and over again? That's how we get it. We listen to it, we hear it, we say it. That's how we get it inside of us. I mean, I'm a little thick-headed sometimes, and it takes me a little while to figure something out. But if I listen to it over and over and over again and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, pretty soon it gets in here and then I can get control of this. But it takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of time. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. And Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus does for us. And Father, we thank you for the protection of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, in these days that we're going into, there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of distraction. Father, we ask you to help us to focus on Jesus, our high priest, as he leads us through these perilous times. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.